Hummels und Karl-Heinz Riedle 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Alan McInerney, meine Damen und Herren.
Welcome back to another German Fitba podcast, and it feels like it's been months. You know what happens when it's an international break? It takes far too long for the football to come back, but we'll be back on Saturday in the Bundesliga. I'm joined as normal by Colin. Colin, how you doing, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, yeah. Good to get the club football back. International breaks always seem like about a month, feels good.
It's been all right. It's not been great.
Especially when you support Scotland.
Exactly, and you live in Germany, and they're not even, you know, they're doing all right, but they're not really very thought fond of here at the moment. But it's all right, the football's back at the weekend, and we'll be back to normal. But we're also joined by a guest, Union Berlin member, Kyle Walsh. Kyle, how you doing, mate?
Not too bad, thanks for having us on.
No problem at all. Obviously, we'll get into the Berlin stuff later on, and Kyle, you can give your unbiased opinion on the Berlin Derby. No, I'm joking. Talk about anyone. We don't want you talking nice things about Hertha. But we'll get a good perspective from yourself, Kyle, when we get into the preview for the match day coming up. But I thought we should probably, where the international break's been on, we should probably talk about it slightly, you know, make some acknowledgement that it happened. So, Colin, come to you first. We'll go for Scotland first, obviously. Are you disappointed with the two results? Are you happy with two results? Does it all depend on the game that's going to kick off in just under 2 hours' time?
It feels like it's already getting to the point that it's too late. Like, see, after the Israel result, because with Denmark and Austria, you'd have to think that they're going to be the top two teams. And the likelihood is we're aiming for second, probably. So we have to finish above either one of those sides. So Israel, we really should be beating home and away. So that now leaves us with needing to win at Austria probably and probably getting a result against Denmark. We're looking up against it already. The Austria result, particularly with us not beating Israel as well, that's probably a missed opportunity as well. But I think that the Israel game in particular, I think that sticks out as being a bit of a missed opportunity.
Yeah, I like Kyle, what's your kind of thoughts on, like, everyone was very optimistic beforehand, saying that this is a group we can win. But seeing that we're actually in it, and you've seen like Denmark's second team demolished Moldova. It wasn't even like their full strength team, you know. And Austria weren't great, I don't think. I think everyone kind of played them up better than they actually played on the day. I don't know if that's just down to tactics. I know they're still kind of trying to figure things out over there. But what's your kind of thoughts after the first two games?
It could be worse. It could be better. Like, the result against Austria, we're maybe a bit unlucky with that penalty shout in the first half, but they played well, and Austria are no slouch. They've got a solid squad, and yeah, I was pretty happy with that result. Israel are just our banana skin at the moment. There's no better way to put it. They seem to have a number, but we've played them so often that that's to be expected. Especially going there, it's a big journey to take, especially in Corona times and that. So, yeah, they're not the best results, but I'm not complaining either. We'll see how the game against the Faroes goes, but the group, I think, is still wide open. Denmark, obviously, yeah, they look pretty good. And for an Union perspective, we'd one of our players got his got a run out in the Moldova game as well with Marcus and Vartson, but yeah, it'll be interesting to say the least.
Yeah, definitely. Do you think the uncertainty of the Bundesliga players playing for Austria might have played an impact and them looking a bit kind of jaded for some of the game? You know, I think they pretty much split half for like the first half. It was Austria were there, then it was us, then it was Austria, then it was us again. They kind of took charge. Do you think that had any bearing on it?
Potentially, like, because it was so uncertain until the last minute, I do think it probably did play a factor in perhaps the build-up and how they were planning out the team and stuff like that. But I guess once you're on the pitch, it doesn't really matter all that much.
Yeah, and so I'll bring you in on that point. Do you think everyone was a bit, I don't want to say like not knowing of Kalajdzic, but I think everyone kind of underestimated what Kalajdzic could do, and then he popped up with two goals and he played really well in the whole game, and everyone was at the end was going, who's that guy? But for us, we've all seen him excel this season in the Bundesliga, and he's been fantastic. Do you think he was kind of like their main threat, but everyone was looking at someone like Sabitzer, who'd even played?
Definitely, yeah, because Clyde is just so new onto the international scene. I think the game against Scotland, that was only about his third cap. He hadn't scored yet on the national side. So when you're previewing the game and looking at dangers, you're probably looking at players that have an international goal scoring record. They quite often play like Gregoritsch up front. He was on the bench. So you weren't really looking at Kalajdzic. But anyone that knows the Bundesliga and has been watching this season knows how much of a threat he is, particularly in the air. Definitely proved that with his second header. Second goal, which was a header, that was a brilliant header. It felt weird watching these players and not wanting them to win. But it was quite bizarre because I really enjoyed watching Stuttgart this season, and I always tend to favour them a bit in their games. But watching Kalajdzic and then seeing him score these goals but not being happy about it was quite a strange feeling. It definitely stuck out.
Nah, he was definitely. I thought he was fantastic. He was one of the main standout players. Schlager did okay as well. I thought the game did well. Dragovic was great as well. I think he's became one of the top five capped Austrians now as well. So the good bunch of Bundesliga players in there for Austria. And then I think I agree with you on the Israel game. It's just, do you think the fans did any better on that, Kyle? Maybe the start, but if I was a football player, I'd relish that. I'd relish that moment of being back in fans. I wouldn't be scared of it.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a bit of a boost, I would imagine, for Israel to have that sort of backing behind you, which other teams are not used to because the vaccination programs and et cetera, et cetera. But it probably gave them a bit of a boost and a bit of extra energy towards the end. But at the end of the day, I would imagine, or I would like to think that Scotland should be winning that game regardless. But it's a different set of circumstances, and we're getting odd results all the time. So I'm not worried too much.
Yeah. Are you worried at all, Colin, with that? Are you actually concerned about the squad going forward, or do you think it's just we're not losing games? Let's just appreciate that.
Well, we've still got a tournament to look forward to, because that's always something. But on the other hand, maybe that paper's over the cracks lately, because I think the performances have been pretty abject recently. It's quite dull to watch generally, but a big part of that is maybe the lack of goal-scoring threat up top. Hopefully Shea Adams has some sort of impact on that. Made his debut at the weekend, so hopefully he can start coming in with goals. So I don't want to be too negative. I mean, tonight's the third game, so you can't write them off yet. So we'll see what happens.
If we lose to the Faroes, can we write it off?
Don't say that. Yes, you can write it off.
No, I mean, I'm hoping by this going out tomorrow, we should have beaten the Faroes by. Hopefully, I think this is a game we actually, without being disrespectful with Faroes, because I thought they played, from what I saw from the start of the Austria game, they went at them and they played really well. But this is one of the seeds we should be looking at taking goals from, because we're already in that stage where goals might be important. So we're looking at Faroes and Moldova. We want to be taking goals. Look at Denmark getting 8 against Moldova. Like, if it comes down to goals, we've never really been that team, Kyle, have we, that kind of takes advantage of that? Like, I'm having flashbacks to Liechtenstein 2-1. You know, when we play Lithuania and we draw with them, you know, we don't take advantage of the teams below us goal wise. So do you think that the tonight's game or yesterday's game should be one that we should actually be looking at in that sense?
Yeah, I would like to hope so, but at the same time, the Faroe Islands, they're, to give them a bit of credit, they are a decent enough side, and they've developed well in terms of where they've come from since they started playing international football in 1990. I would hope that we win by a couple of goals, but like it is for me at club level, just a team's struggling to score.
Yeah, because one thing that's they've managed to defend quite well under Steve Clarke, I think, but goals, just like previous campaigns, that always seems to be the issue. Like Kyle said, Faroe Islands aren't really a side, definitely a side we should be beating, but they're not the same rank as the likes of San Marino that you're going to score like 5 or 6 goals, I don't think. As you saw, Austria only beat them 3-1. They've definitely come on a wee bit, and they are a side that Scotland have struggled with in the past. I know there's a couple of occasions that Scotland only drew with Faroe Islands, so definitely can't write them off.
Yeah, definitely. Just before we move on to the Germany chat, obviously a player to look out for from the Faroe, you should have looked out for. It's kind of hard to remember that we're recording this before the game starts, and then it's going out after the game. But we've got to look out for Edmundsson at Bielefeld. He was more of a Zweite Liga player for Bielefeld, and he's only really played a handful of games this season. But when he did play, he scored against Köln. So I know I'll, more than anyone, to kind of keep an eye out for him. But he came an interesting player to watch out for. I'm positive he didn't start against Austria, though. But if he plays again tonight, he's a good enough player to look out for.
Yeah, I'm sure he set up the goal. I could be wrong, but I think he assisted the goal against Austria. So we're not an expert on Faroese football, but he's probably the only name I'd recognise, as we know, from Bundesliga. Yeah. Not really played to him. I think he played a wee bit early on in the season in the Bundesliga. We've not seen him so much feature recently. So
yeah, he kind of fell out of favour. He did get that goal against Köln. I think it was actually his first start of the Bundesliga as well. He got that goal, so it's pretty impressive. So I don't know, it'll be an interesting game. Hopefully we can actually come out on top in that, but we'll swiftly move on to the other country which we kind of have an allegiance to now, as we talk about their league all the time. We should probably mention the national team. Back to kind of normal, Colin, with Germany, would you say, with those two results, or can you not really write them off? Because, you know, I mean, I think Iceland are a good team, but they're not the team they were a couple of seasons ago. And then they beat Romania. They kind of slid past Romania as well. Do you think it's good results for Germany, or do you think there still have to be panic stations after their horrendous Nations League campaign?
Playing in Iceland, as you said, Iceland aren't the team they were in the Euro 2016, World Cup 2018. So they've fallen a wee bit. I think they should be expecting to win against, and they managed to do so comfortably. A bit less convincingly against Romania. It's difficult to say because they've been on at the same time as Scotland, so I haven't really been watching them. North Macedonia as well tonight. So you can't really tell too much until they play fellow big sides. Like in the Euros, they've got such a tough group. France and Portugal, both in their group. I think they'll be up against it to get out of that group, to be honest, at least finishing the top two. They seem to be a bit just holding out until their new coach comes in. I feel like this tournament's probably just going to be a write-off for them.
Yeah,
in the summer.
It's an interesting one, that. I mean, I don't know if you... It's two good results there, Kyle. Like, it's good they're actually winning games again. And, you know, the last game they had was that 6-0 demolition from Spain. So do you think they just need to try and get over the line, Germany, at the moment, and just get this tournament over the way and get Love out of the job and actually start again, basically?
Yeah, I don't see... Well, obviously, Love's got his contract to finish up and stuff like that, but it kind of seems this has been coming for years, so... It's almost like a holding pattern that they're just waiting for this change to happen. So whatever happens in the summer is what happens. If they get knocked out in the groups or they win the thing, I don't think they would care either way. Okay, maybe that's a bit too far, but you know, I don't expect much from the team, even though the team is good. It all seems to be going in towards who the new manager is going to be in the. No doubt they'll get in someone that will be good for the job and can go and build another project like Lou did from 2006.
Yeah, it's been a long time coming. But do you worry about the fact, Colin, that they've not actually played with an out and out striker for the past two games? I mean, they're still winning. They've still scored 4 goals, but you know they've had Gnabry's kind of been playing through the middle. You know, that Sané and Havertz kind of trio up front. I mean. I don't know what I'm complaining about. If we had that three, I would not be complaining at all. If we if Scotland had that three up front. But it's kind of an interesting move to go for.
Yeah, I think it's just a pattern of the last few years in football. It's more commonplace, teams playing without a recognised striker. Scotland against Czech Republic, maybe. But 10 years ago. Probably Craig Levein's best, the best trend that Craig Levein set during this time.
This is the only trend he's ever set. When's he done anything else? I feel like I'm quite enjoying the sports line just now, actually. He's not terrible on it. I got to give some kind of credit. He's not terrible on that at the moment.
That's some praise. He's not terrible.
Judging by most of the folk that are end up on that show, John Collins for one at the moment, he's doing all right. He's not like hurting everyone. We're Galapagos fans after John Collins absolutely rinsing them like a couple of weeks ago. Anyway, not to get distracted from sports side, but so are you confident Germany should win this group though?
Yeah, I think so. That they'll always really have that as the bare minimum, really. They're always expected to win that group quite convincingly. It's really when they get to the tournament that the main challenge is for them. So I don't really have any worries for them at that step.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's been a terrible international break. I mean, I don't mind international break as much as some people do. I know it's kind of very vocal on Twitter when the international breaks come up, everyone's getting a bit disappointed, but I quite enjoy it. So it was okay this time. I mean, it would be nice for Scotland to win a game. Hopefully we'll have won a game by the time I'm saying this. If we've not, I really regret saying that. But, you know, we'll move it back on to the important stuff, and that is Bundesliga football and German football and club football and day-to-day life football. It's back. It's actually back, Colin. Are you excited for it?
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. I think I was really ready for a break from the Bundesliga. Like, usually you get that respite with the winter break that's maybe over a month. You get that time off in Bundesliga, and when that comes back, you're just ready to go again. But it seems to have, it's just carried over the last few months, and I think the quality of football's declined a certain amount in the last few weeks as well. So I think it's a much needed break. Really looking forward to getting back into it though.
Yeah, I was actually going to touch on that later, but we may as well talk about it now. I mean, okay, we'll come to you first on that. Like, do you think that the break was actually needed, considering, if you think about it, the German clubs have been playing since they started back in the pandemic. What was it, the end of May, June kind of time? That's when they've all still been playing since then. They had a short off-season, if you want to call that, like during the summer, and then they've been in it every week since then, and some English weeks as well. And the Bundesliga, not as much as what you've been seeing in like Scotland recently, actually. But surely the players actually needed that break, but half of them have went and played international football, so it's probably not helped them at all. I think it's going to be kind of same as we were getting for the past month or so. Like Colin said, a bit less competitive, a bit less quality. Do you think we're going to get that, or do you think it's going to be more refreshed coming back in?
I think it'll be more refreshed because, like you mentioned, there's barely been a break since last May when the league came back. It's the winter break was only a week, really. It was a week off. Teams have had to, you know, make up extra games and stuff like that, and there's been Pokal and teams playing in Europe and stuff like this. So yeah, much needed, particularly from an Union perspective. We've been in a bit of a slump, and we could really do with that rest, because we've not got a squad that's as big as your Bayerns and your Dortmunds and so on. So I would hope, and I would like to think, that coming back in, most of the teams played a friendly there last week or this week, that they're kind of refreshed and raring to go and ready to give us something worth watching.
Hopefully, we're hoping that it will. And luckily, coming up for this week, match day 27, and Kyle, obviously, the main reason for getting you on is Sunday night we'll have the Berlin Derby. Unfortunately, the Stadion der Alte Försterei will not be full of Union fans, with a wee tiny bit of Hertha fans. But are you looking forward to the game, Kyle? What does it kind of mean as an Union fan, like from abroad as well, when the Derby actually comes up? Because there's not been many of them in the past
It's a bit of a weird one because it's not a historical derby. It's one that is quite recent because of the Berlin Wall and so on. But you always want to get one over on Hertha, who have this history of being in the Bundesliga, and especially recently when they've had so much money pumped into the club, and kind of the clubs are both opposites. As I see it, the Union is very much a members' club, and it's run by the members, and the revenues come through your traditional streams of the fans giving their contributions every month, and your TV money and stuff like that, and sponsorship. Whereas Hertha have this big investor; they have the Olympiastadion, which they fill sometimes, but maybe not all the time. And it's all seats as well. It's whereas Union standing is a big part of the experience. So yeah, definitely one that I want to get one over on them, because it's our third ghost derby now, and we've lost the last two. The first one we just capitulated, and then the second one Robert Andrich decided he'd try Kung Fu. And we capitulated after that as well. So hopefully this time around we can replicate a victory like we did with the only derby in the first division with fans back in November 2019 now.
Yeah, no, I remember that, Andrich. I don't know why. At the start of the game, I thought it was a good idea to captain him on fantasy as well. And Starman in fantasy. And then he got sent off, so that was great. Nice -5 points he gave me there, but it's an interesting derby because, like you said, it's not a very historical one because of like differences in politics in Germany, of course. But we'll not delve into that. That's for another podcast, not the football related one. But you know, like it's an interesting derby though, and like you had a couple of Zweite Liga meetings as well for the couple of years the Hertha were down there, but like. See, the last two derbies, do you think the fans would have played a bigger part in that? Those two games, obviously, if you look at the two defeats coming.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the first derby without fans was the second game back after the pause for the pandemic, and it really that stung, because that was going to be the first derby in the Bundesliga at the Olympiastadion, and we'd got like a decent enough allocation, and we were riding the crest of a wave, having beat them first time round at the Altifusserei, and to get battered like we did last time, it did sting a little, especially because the last time we'd played them, we'd won with a Torsten Matuschka free kick back in the Zweite Liga days. It's fans will always make a difference for us. Union, the crowd is always passionate and it's full gusto behind the team, no matter what, no matter how the play is going. Although we do love an atmosphere boycott, which tends to happen from time to time. The last couple of away games I've been at, there's been one for various reasons, but it's a passionate support, and one that no matter what the score, the team keeps singing. Like I've been to a few drubbins over the years, and you're still chanting away nonstop, be it through half time or in the game, just trying to give the team that bit of edge. And sometimes it works, and I would like to hope in a derby atmosphere, absolutely would make a difference. But at the same time, for Hertha, they're also missing out on the fans. So, yeah, to an extent, it would even out. But I could also just be take the mick out of Hertha and just say they're used to playing in a library anyways. So.
Yeah, no, We've heard that plenty with the Hertha. You know, the Olympic Stadion, it's a lovely big stadium, but Hertha really need to get rid of that stadium. It's just not, I think if they got something that suited them and actually envisaged the fans better than the Olympic Stadion, I think it would make for the better for the city as well for visiting. So, Colin, I'll come at you first from a non-fan perspective coming into the derby. Obviously, it's been a mixed season for both sides. You know, Hertha really struggling, which Kyle will probably be enjoying. We'll ask him that later and he can tell us his answer. He's nodding in approval, so we'll take that as a good thing. But Union have been fantastic this season. I know like they've started to maybe trundle over the line now, but you still can't be disappointed as an Union fan being seventh place at the moment and 2 points off of European football. So, I mean, from a non-fan perspective of the derby, you're looking forward to it. Do you think it's going to envisage what happened this season between what the way the clubs have been? Or do you think it'll be similar to the game that was at Olympic Stadium where Hertha just kind of proved that they were a bit stronger at the time?
Yeah, it's definitely what I'm looking forward to. Just as someone that really enjoys going to Berlin, just a derby I'm really interested in. Both clubs are great, well-supported, great stadiums. Despite what, I mean, you were saying about the Olympic Stadium with Hertha, I'm a big fan of the stadium. I think it's actually a pretty good atmosphere, considering the reputation that it has. But Union as well, one I've not been to, but I really would like to go to. Just great reputation for atmosphere. The three sides of Terrison just looks brilliant. The sides as well, just so different. But Union starting to sort of turn the tables a wee bit higher up in the Bundesliga this season, contrasting with Hertha fighting for relegation. Even at the start of this season, you'd have thought it would be the other way about. Hertha with so much money spent on the side. Union, you're maybe thinking second season syndrome, they would end up being near the bottom after staying up last season, but it's not turned out to be like that. I'm not, in terms of the game, I think it'll be quite close, I think. I mean, Hertha will be very confident after their win against Leverkusen. Whether that was about Hertha's performance or Leverkusen just being in crisis, we need to see. But I think Hertha, in their performances, they've managed to create a lot of chances in their games. They've just been really wasteful and their defending's been poor. So you've always had the feeling that they're being underperforming and that they would be well capable of turning it around. I'd expect to be a close derby. Not like the hammering it was last season, of course, but the red cards in the first meeting changed things. So maybe this game will be what that game could have been, a much closer encounter.
Yeah, definitely. And like we kind of touched on there, Kyle, I mean, you must be thrilled at what the season's planned out to be this season. It wasn't what many people had thought of, especially, you know, losing with Anderson at the start of the season. I thought that was going to be a very big loss for Union, and it's turned out to be the complete opposite for Cologne. Like, it's been a loss for Cologne. They've just not actually had them, unfortunately, injury-wise. Maybe it was a blessing in disguise. They might have done that Union as well, but do you not think that for the start of the season, did you envisage this was going to happen? Did you know that you could, well, not know, but did you believe that you could be a successful team in the Bundesliga after coming up for the first year?
I would be lying if I said anything to say that I could see this happening. It's been a season beyond our wildest dreams, and it is so gutting that we're not in the stands to celebrate it and enjoy it as we should. But with Anderson, thanks to Coom for helping, you know, pad up our finances a bit and taking someone who's obviously not worked out for them, and it's a bit of a shame if I'm honest. But yeah, Max Kruse has been a revelation. We should have probably expected that, but a shrewd bit of business from Oliver Rooner, the sporting director at Union, to get him in, and like he's got 10 goals and 5 assists in 14 games, which is an incredible strike rate. And to go in a little bit into fancy stats, I was reading Stefan Bienkowski's Bundesliga newsletter last week, and he was pointing out that Kruse's non-penalty goals and assists per 90 minutes of play is 0.85, and only Kalajdzic, Müller, Haaland and Lewandowski are better, which is some pretty incredible company for a player for us to be keeping. I would have been happy to be in Hertha's place this season, if I'm honest, and I would have expected them to be in ours. But this is how it is. We're not there by fluke. The team has played really well and defensively strong. Which seems a weird thing to say, given that against Frankfurt we had one of the most incredible collapses and one of the most incredible own goals you'll ever see. If I'm honest, I didn't know whether to laugh or cry when Robert Andrich decided to pass into his own net from 40 yards. But it's a team that runs defensively solid most of the time, and they've gone back in recent games to a back three that turns into a back five, and that's been for the better. Nico Schlotterbeck coming back from injuries definitely helped in that regard, and he tends to wander up the park and you end up seeing him on like the end of a cross or popping up just at the edge of the box, and you're like, well, where's he come from? And gives another dimension to the attack. We've been missing Geraldo Becker, who was a revelation in the start of the season, but unfortunately he's out for another while yet. But other players have stepped up, like Marcus Invartsen's had a great season, Grisha Prumo's had a great season after struggling last year with injury. Robert Andrich has proved himself to be solid, if a bit mad, but he's got less yellow cards than he has last season, which was an improvement. Just a shame that he got a red against Hertha last time. And then Friedrich as well. I don't know how he's not in the German national team given his play this season, but a strong end to the season, and I can't see why he's not in the conversation for the Euros, because you know, for the likes of Tarr in that conversation, and Jonathan Tarr has been playing pretty poor the last wee while. I don't see why Friedrich wouldn't. And then we've got the issue of in the summer trying to keep a hold of him, because no doubt there'll be clubs after him. We're lucky to have him at the moment, I would say.
Yeah, that was one player I wanted to actually touch on singly. I thought Friedrich's been one of the standouts. I mean, it's easy. Obviously, it's hard to talk about Lenz knowing he's going to go to Frankfurt at the end of the season. And you've got, obviously, Trimmel, who got his first Bundesliga goal against Köln, of course. Had to be against Köln. Had to, for me, to bring that up as well. But it's really impressive, the defensive line, I think, at Union. I think that's been one of the main parts of this season, is that the defensive line is basically the same as what it was last season as well. You've created that stability there. And what you've done is you've added the quality of the players like Kruse, who've just kind of made everything click. Do you think just kind of like the way Fischer wants to play is like it suits the style of the players as well? Is that just kind of the where Union have kind of got their best form? Is basically down to the way he gets the best out of his group of players?
Yeah, definitely. He seems to adapt the style of play to the players that we've got. We've seen last season that it was the Trimmel, Anderson corners, free kicks, and it worked, and it kept Union in the league, and that was the objective. Whereas this year we've lost Anderson, and yeah, Trimmel is still popping in free kicks and popping in corners and giving assists that way, but we're building play up in a different manner. And even in recent weeks, we, for a lot of this season, we've relied on attacks down the right-hand side, both with Trimmel and with Becker. But in the last few games, the emergence of Julian Ryerson, who is usually a right-sided player, who's started playing on the left, has been superb, and he's popped up with a couple of assists. He assisted the Trimmel goal against Köln with a lovely Cruyff turn in the edge of the box, and then assisted Kruse's first against Frankfurt. And he's someone who we wouldn't have expected to play the left back position and play it so well, but he's given us an extra dimension. And Keita Endo as well, a loan signing from Yokohama this year, is also someone who, when he's come on, he's kind of given a bit of energy, and he's not afraid to run at people, and he's got a couple of tricks up his sleeve as well. So the style of play tends to adapt to the players, and I think that's something that Urs Fischer is probably going, maybe not in Germany, but around Europe, going a bit under the radar for, because like, being realistic, Union have the second smallest budget in this league to Bielefeld. We should be nowhere near contending for Europe. And like, even in seventh at the moment, that could still be a European spot given how the Pokal could go. This is, yeah, ridiculous. It shouldn't be like this. I would have taken 15th at the start of the season, and if we were to lose every game at the end of the season, it'd feel bad, but you'd still look back and we're pretty much safe now. Like, once you get 40 points, we're safe, which we're on 38 now, if I recall correctly. So yeah, it's crazy, and full credit to ours and Oliver Rooner, who he works closely with to recruit players that will suit a system that ours wants to implement.
Yeah, no, it's been so positive. I know, like, since the Leverkusen game in January, it's not been fantastic results wise. But Colin, see, if you're looking at the results of late, obviously the Köln victory was something that kind of got them back up and running, but maybe the break didn't come at the best time. Should they be really disappointed that, like, drawing to Schalke and Hoffenheim and Armenia, you know, those three games surrounding the win at Freiburg as well? I mean, it's kind of crazy that anyone should be disappointed with those games, isn't it?
Oh, just as Kyle said, they're happy to be in that position in the first place. Ordinarily, those have been the type of games that they would have been disappointed not to win, because they'd be relegation contenders along with Union. But in the position they're in, they can afford to drop points. But while they've dropped points against the likes of Armenia, they've won games and got points against bigger sides. Remember, they beat Leverkusen at home earlier on the season. So I think that cancels it out, the disappointment from that. And if they were to have won those games, they'd probably be deeper into the European conversation. But I don't really know. I think that would be such a great story, but whether that would be a good thing for them in a footballing sense for next season, I'm not sure if they'd be able to cope well with the demands of European football along with leagues. So that's an interesting debate as well.
Yeah, okay. Colin's brought it up. Kyle, what are you thinking? European football? Can you imagine European football at the Alton Forest Eye next year?
Well, we'd need to buy a ton of rail seats anyways, because standing places isn't allowed at Union. But the intention of the club is that any European, they said at the AGM in January that if they were to qualify for European competition, that European games would be played at the Alta Fusterai. So that would be pretty incredible. My fear is if it does happen that we do a Köln and get relegated as a result, because that was great to see Köln, you know, in Arsenal. Everyone's seen the video of their fan march through London. Looks great. And we no doubt go and do mad stuff like that. And it would probably be the Europa Conference League, which, you know, we're doing it in Perth against St Johnston or something. but it'd be a really cool experience, and I think the fans would appreciate the experience more than anything, because win, lose or draw, you're behind the club, and it would just be a few jollies, and whatever the results, it doesn't matter. Like, the 22,000 people will still show up at the Alta Fusterai week in, week out, where we're in the Bundesliga or the second Bundesliga. We've been selling out games for years. It's a nightmare to get tickets, as I'm sure anyone that's gone to Berlin, not as a club member, can attest to. So, yeah, can I envision it? Yeah. And I want it badly, but I want it more just for the jolly, more than anything else. I wouldn't be fussed about results. I've not got European ambitions in terms of success.
No, I totally agree with that. I think you don't want to get too ahead of yourselves if you do manage to qualify for Europe. I mean, imagine it was St Johnstone and three fans turn up in the way. And sorry, I'm just still really bitter that St Johnstone overtook St Mirren in the last game to get the top six. So no offense to St Johnstone fans, but any other loss, I'm still really bitter. I'll take all the criticism. Anyway, that'd be funny. That'd be great if that happened. But you don't want to get too excited, because, like you said about Köln, Köln got far too excited that season. They still, like, I've still heard fans roundabout still singing Europa Pokal, like they're still in Europe and they're actually nowhere near Europe at the moment. You know, it's kind of, you do get lost in it. And the fact that they did perform, they performed well in the games they shouldn't have performed well in against Arsenal. And you want that kind of glamour tie. And I think, anyone who knows German football knows what Union are like, knows what Union fans are like. But I think for the wider perspective, I think it was so exciting to introduce that to a much bigger audience to in the European scale, the Union. I think that, I don't know if you agree with that, Colin, but I think that everyone would gravitate a lot more to Union than what they maybe think at the moment. A lot of people don't probably know much about Union. They'll know Hertha is the Berlin team, which is a shame because Union are the team that you want to be involved in. I think being in European competition would open them up so much for that. Do you not agree?
On one hand, yeah, because I think Union are a club that sort of got a similar reputation to St. Pauli abroad, I would say, in terms of Germany. I don't think Kyle was happy with that comparison, but I think in terms of people that maybe aren't as familiar with German football probably think they're quite similar clubs, the sort of cult clubs. But in reality they are different, but they sort of do have that underdog status in the city that they're in. St. Pauli have quite a similar relationship with Hamburg. Hamburg are the bigger club, Hertha the bigger club in Berlin generally. You're probably not happy with that either.
Well, they're great.
But they have that identity that they are the underdog. So if it became more widespread, it would maybe spoil that slightly in a way. I don't know. Because they sort of theme themselves on the lack of commercialism and they're quite deep rooted into the community. Maybe if that expanded and they got a bit more worldwide following, that would harm their reputation and identity as what they have as an underdog. Maybe a lot of controversial statements in that speech there, but I'll let Kyle contradict me.
Yeah, I've got to say, can you come in on that one? Do you agree with anything Colin said there?
So the St. Pauli comparison is one that I hear all too often, and to view Union as like a St. Pauli light is maybe a bit unfair to both sides. St. Pauli are quite strong on their politics, and all credit to them. Whereas for us, politics is not a massive thing. It's for Union, the club comes above all, and they do like. Don't get us wrong, they do stand for tolerance and against like homophobia and stuff like that. The Elf Freund campaign a couple of months ago, Union players were kind of at the forefront of that. But it's not, I can't say that the club is full of angels. We do have some issues with some fans whose political outlook is completely different to others. And there's maybe been incidents of, to put it this way, if you go to Union, if you're lucky to get the chance to do so, if you go into the sector that the ultras are in, and you like whip a phone out, that'll be like very frowned upon. But then sometimes you may converse in English, and someone will make a passing comment. But once you chat to them and explain, no, I'm not a tourist, I'm actually here as a club member, and it's a completely different attitude change. But there's this sort of mentality, because they want to protect the club, they want to, like some of these guys have been going to Union since, you know, they were chanting the wall must come down every time there was a free kick, and some old attitudes die hard. And like you mentioned, this sample of international games and being exposed to a wider audience would be great for all these pages, like these away day pages that are like, oh, look at all these Union fans marching through whatever city and all this. But then there'd be people going to Union just to, you know, to do it as like a tourist and as a tick box sort of thing, whereas the fans tend to want, it's a lot of people I know say they don't go to football, they go to On Your Own, and it's the standing, it's the drinking, it's going with your mates, it's being a member of the club, it's contributing towards the success of the club, whether that's your membership fees or it's your for some people donating blood. Like once upon a time when we couldn't afford league fees, it's donating your free time to build the ground. It's something a bit different than just, you know, going to just picking random ground and going to visit a team. But maybe we're being a bit rich, and I don't mean to gatekeep it, because there is plenty of space to go and see the team, especially when the stadium gets expanded, which was meant to have happened by next year, but there's not been a single bit of mud or bricks and mortar done on that, and we'll see when that comes. But yeah, it's the comparison with St. Pauli's a bit, yeah, a bit different, but yeah.
I get what you mean though, like as particularly with the politics thing, I think they're lumped together quite often. Like Union are seen, because they're seen as a cult club, they're sort of banded in with the left wing side of things, but it's sort of more all-encompassing of the environment they're in. I mean, Kopernik, they pretty much stand for that community, and I'm sure there is the left-wing element, but there's other sides of that as well. So I think it's more of a outsider outlook sees them as that. I remember reading a book on St. Pauli, and it mentioned how they are often compared, but often St. Pauli fans are sort of have quite a hostile reception from Union fans in a way. So that, it was quite interesting to read about as well.
Yeah, for sure. Having been to an Union St. Pauli game before in Berlin, I'd never seen so much police at a game until we had a game against Magdeburg where they were getting relegated, and that was bad. But it was like, even in Scotland, I hadn't seen as much police as there was at this Union St. Pauli game, and the clubs are maybe different, but there is some core values, like we mentioned, that are quite important. That, you know, there is it's about the fan experience. And I guess a personal anecdote was coming away from that game, and some guys were sitting on the S-Bahn back in the city centre across from us, and I was there with my mate, and the two of us are both Celtic fans. And once the St. Pauli fans heard us chatting English and discovered we're Celtic fans, it was absolutely fine. Like, there was nothing going on, and they're like, why are you not supporting us? But yeah, it's a bit, I guess I just St. Pauli was never something that attracted us, and Union is, yeah, just football as it's meant to be, in my eyes anyways.
Definitely love that. You can tell that the club's got that vibe, that essence around it, which is really kind of refreshing to see. And it's good to see a club like that back in the Bundesliga, but it's good to see a club like that in the Bundesliga as well. You know, top flight German football is great. So I think before we move on to the other games, we should probably give our more preview of the game. What's your thoughts, Kyle? Get into it. Are you going heart over head over heart? What are you thinking? Do you think it's going to go the way the seasons went? Who's going to come out on top?
Both heart and head say an Union win, because logically looking at how the season has gone, that's how it should go. I do of course have some fears and doubts, because we have a bit of a, we can find a way to lose. The Frankfurt game being a prime example of that, because that was a game I felt we were the better team for most of the game, but yet still somehow lost 5-2. If I was to give a score prediction, my head would say 1-0, but my heart would say 3-1, something like that.
Colin, what are you thinking? What's your thoughts for the game?
I'm torn, because earlier on my gut was that I thought Hertha would win, but after the last hour and hearing all this Union propaganda, I'm starting to change my mind a wee bit. I don't know, because Hertha have had a few false dawns this season. Just their talented squad, thought they would have pulled away. Then they got that result against Leverkusen. So now you're thinking, right, this is it. They'll start to break away now. And I've said it so many times that Dardai, since he's come in as coach, not had many winnable games. Maybe this is one of the, if you could say, weaker sides that they've faced since he's come in. I'm managing to be Leverkusen, are obviously one of the top sides in the league as well. So I'm still going to stick Hertha. I've got a feeling about Hertha for this one. 2-1.
We've got Kyle on, and all you've done is just say good things about Hertha and compare to Zimparli. He'll no come back after this.
I'm just balancing it all out. I'm just making up for the fact that we've not got a Hertha guest on. I'll be the Hertha guest.
We're in a Hertha top as well, and I'm the neutral on my Scotland top on, since Scotland are playing Benny. Personally, I think from the neutral, when you look at it, you want Union to win because you want to see Union go to Europe. And that's not, I want to see Union go to Europe and see what happens with Kern. And same thing, they'll get relegated next season, not at all. I just think it'd make more interesting chat about, like, the Bundesliga is not just about all the big clubs. You know, look at clubs like Union who can get there. Look at clubs like when Köln got there to Europe. You know, it's exciting to see that the league, that these teams can end up being split. And that's why I'm liking the look of Union, Freiburg and Stuttgart coming straight back up as well. You know, they're all ahead of Gladbach at the moment, where everyone was saying, oh, Gladbach will probably be third. Gladbach could be second, you know. So I think that's really exciting. So, and also, I'm also coming from a Köln perspective, where Union win is very important for us, which happened last season as well, because, you know, when Union started going up the table towards the end and Köln were going the other way, we kind of started relying on Union towards the end of the season. So I'd like a 2-0 Union win for me. I think Max Kruse could just prove... He could run that defence ragged, I think. So that's what I'm going for. I'm going for an Union win, and that's not just because Kyle's here. Not at all. But we'll spend quite a bit of time on the Berlin derby, so let's just run through some of the other games. Do we want to talk about Leipzig, Bayern, Colin? I mean...
Do we have to?
Of course we do. I mean, we won't go too far into the rest of the games because we want to get through them all and get into our quiz, and we want to make the start of the Scotland game as well, of course. We've got 40, our time is 40 minutes and counting. But Lewandowski is going to be out for a while, it looks like. Does that open up Leipzig's chance, Colin? Does that open up their chance to go and nick a win? Or, I mean, if you look at it, they're still far too strong going forward anyway, even without Lewandowski. But is it the impetus of they need Lewandowski to score a goal still going to be there? Or do you think they'll be able to overcome that?
I don't think they need him. I think if you're gonna choose any player that Bayern, if you're to choose right any player Bayern were gonna miss out on playing, then you'd probably pick Lewandowski. He's so vital. And obviously, the element that I hadn't even thought about was the goal record that he's going for Gerd Müller's record. That could be harmful to that because I thought he was a dead cert to meet that. But there's a Bayern. I mean, yeah, I saw Gnabry scoring during the international break. He's well capable of scoring goals. Thomas Müller, Musiala, a young player, he can come in and play up front. So,
I think Sané's turned it around a wee bit from what I've
Was it the first half of the season? I thought he was quite disappointing, but to be fair to him, he was coming off the back of a very bad injury. So, I think he's come into his own a wee bit second half of the season. So they've got other players who can score goals. And in a way, with Lewandowski being missing and Leipzig maybe more expected to win now, it adds the pressure onto them. And I think they really need to win this game if they have aspirations for the title, because if they lose this, they'll be 7 points behind now. So it's so crucial for them to win this. And yeah, I think the pressure will get to them and they will drop points and only draw, which I think will be a bit of a disappointment. That'll be decisive in the title race, I think.
Okay. Right. If you take the top, then I'll give Kyle the bottom. Mainz, Bielefeld, that could be a really important game. Do you think that's the game where Mainz put their foothold and go, what Colin's been saying for months now, that Mainz will stay up?
Absolutely. Both Svensson's come in and done an incredible job with Mainz, and I can't see that not continuing. That being said, Bielefeld have actually been all right since the coaching change, which at the time I thought was a ridiculous move, but given that they planned to make this change earlier, okay, it makes a bit more sense. But I still can't see Mainz losing this, and they'll continue their charge up the table and into safety.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Kramer's divided a lot of opinion. The game against Union, I don't think they had it quite set up right, you know, and then they kind of move forward. I think they're getting, you know, they beat Leverkusen, you know, they could mount a challenge, but I think this is the game that they could, both teams are starting to need to win. I don't know if you agree with that, Kyle, like they both kind of need that win, and if they don't, then they could be one of the teams looking to go straight down.
Yeah, it's definitely a game that Bielefeld need to win. It's definitely a game that Bielefeld need to win more than Mainz do, just given their position in the table. But I can't see Mainz not losing. They've grown into a really good side, and relative to their position in the table, they seem to be one of the strongest sides in that bottom third. And as much as Bielefeld need the win, and I would like to see them stay up, I think it's going to be a hard time for them to get something out of this.
Yeah, definitely. It could be a very good game, though. But I'm also quite, I've got a tendency to say that the games at the bottom are very, very good games, and then they turn out to be drab, like nothing eaches, like Mainz, Schalke turned out to be. I'm assuming this, I don't think this game will be. I think Mainz have turned a corner again. Just to keep Colin happy, that they are looking like, just stop smiling, that they might actually get to stay up this season. A couple other games to kind of mention, I think. Is Stuttgart Werder Bremen an interesting one, Colin? You know, Stuttgart losing Wladimir Gutka. Bremen just kind of... It's hard to say with Bremen, because, I mean, they've established themselves that they're safe, that they won't jump into the bottom five. But do you think they're happy with that season?
Yeah, I think so. That's quite bold. I mean, they're only 7 points clear. They could still get dragged back into it.
Oh, no, I don't know. I think the bottom five are the bottom five.
I think they'll be fine, but they're not. I wouldn't totally call it just now, because I don't think they've been too convincing this season. But I think them, along with... You're not like me for saying... have both been quite drab and boring to watch. You could say not much of an attacking threat.
But I don't think that's a striker, so that's probably why there's no attacking threat.
Yeah. Are you saying that Davy Zelka's not a striker?
Well, I thought the film. The Kiln part, that's why they're not going to...
All right. Thought that was a Davy Zelka dig, which is fair enough, to be honest.
Yeah. He was a helper player. I'm just playing up to Kyle being here.
Well, much contrasting with Stuttgart, who by contrast have been so good to watch. You look at attacking. It's so gutting though with Womanga Tuka being injured for so long.
I think the whole German football's like following of just when they read that news, just went.
Don't know if you saw during the Scotland game as well. See, like just before half time when Kalajdzic went down with his shoulder, I thought it looked like he was injured as well. Even though I was like thinking from the Scotland perspective, but thinking surely not Kalajdzic out long time as well. But thankfully he carried on after half time. But if he goes as well, then that would be devastating. But yeah. Well, Angatuka is going to, not just for Stuttgart, just for the league, he's such a great player to watch. I hope it doesn't, this season they're well clear of relegation trouble, but I'm hoping in the future it doesn't really set them back, because you never know how long he's going to be out and if it will affect him in the future, because that's an injury like that can be career changing. Hopefully not, yeah. Though.
It'll be a shame to see that, because he's been a revelation since he joined the league. What would you say, Stuttgart or Werder Bremen for that one?
Stuttgart, it looks a bit of an obvious one. Sometimes teams can surprise you, but I think Stuttgart, I'll go with a 1-0 for this. Kalajdzic will continue his scoring form.
There we go. I think an interesting one. I say interesting lightly. Leverkusen, Schalke. That could be a. That's a team of the numpties right now, isn't it? Just the teams that just can't buy a win. Just like, do you think, Colin, that Schalke lose? I mean, I know they're consigned to relegation, but do you think that once they've lost this, that's like any hope of a comeback is gone, or do you think that hope was gone a long time ago?
I think that hope went in January, to be honest. Like,
I'm trying to help.
Far too late for that. I don't know why you always, when you're talking, you're like, oh, I don't want to be too harsh on them. Like, rub it in. Like, they've been so bad. They deserve it. I feel sorry for them, but the team deserves the criticism because they're so bad. Like, any time a side needs a win, you play Schalke. Gladbach desperately needed a win the last game. They played Schalke. They beat them 3-0. Leverkusen desperately need a win. Hannes Wolf coming in. Now they've got Schalke at home. So all these teams, Hertha have Schalke coming up probably soon. Other teams have Schalke coming up. Bielefeld as well. They're just a gift of 3 points. Apart from when Union play them, of course. But
God. Colin, you've insulted anyone tonight, and you've just went right through Schalke there. You're going to make a lot of enemies after this podcast goes out. So yeah, so move on in case Colin starts to insult any more teams. Quickly go through Dortmund Frankfurt. Kyle, you get anything on that game? Like, it could be interesting. One of the teams going for the European places, of course, and trying to get that top four finish.
Absolutely. I do like the look of Frankfurt. They're have a lot of time for Kostic. He's one of the best players in the league, and he's just a joy to watch every time he plays, apart from when he's running at your right back, who's the other side, like, stuck on attack, as happened last time out. But I'd like to see Frankfurt get something out of that, because I'd like to see Frankfurt play in the Champions League. I think that'd be quite cool.
Yeah, no, it will be. I'm interested to see them back. They're like the comments, sorry, the what's it called now? The Deutsche Bank Park?
Deutsche Bank Park? Waldstadion, let's call it that.
Let's just go with Waldstadion, that's fine. So it's been possibly many names. It just jumps between every bank in Germany until it goes back around. But you know, the Waldstadion, it's, people say it's one of the best atmospheres in the Bundesliga as well. So I'd love to see that Champions League football. That'd be amazing. But interesting, I don't think Haaland scored a goal for Norway in international break either. So I don't know if that dents his confidence or it gives him that urge to go and get one take over Lewandowski if he's going to be out. But I think he's far too far ahead to take over him. That could be an interesting one with Haaland coming back. Could be a good game. I think it's the one to watch out for the Saturday games, because it's got something, like, it really does mean something. Whereas, you know, the other game was Wolfsburg and Köln. I mean, I'm going to let someone else take that, because it's too hard for me to say that Wolfsburg have got a clean win there. Colin, clean win for Wolfsburg, easy.
You have to talk about them at some point. Seems like every week you're just like skipping over Köln. It's interesting.
If we talk about them, we'll be here for another 3 hours.
A straightforward one then, right? If that's what you want me to say. You look like you've left the room now, or you're switching light on.
Switch the light on because it's too dark. It was too dark talking about cologne. And I just want to keep my cologne scarf in the frame. I think I just don't understand personally the point of bringing Dennis in if he's still going to play Duda up front, or he's going to play Thielmann up front. I support two teams that change the managers like the weather, which is really bad. And I don't like that, but I generally don't think Gisdol's got a place next season. I just think that it's just, he's not managed to achieve anything in the 2 years he's been here. And it's going to come a time that you don't want them relegated, but if relegation gets rid of Gisdol and, you know, this rut that they're stuck in at the moment, it could turn out to be a beneficial factor, but I'm not saying I want.
There's just no like long-term hope. Like, you don't look at the side and think If they could, I mean, they could stay up this season, but you never look at the side under Gisdol and think they'll be fine next year. It's just, if he was like under a coach like that, I think just in general, a coach like Gisdol, it's just, he's not, it's never going to be like a long-term thing. I think he's just a journeyman sort of coach that he'll maybe save you for relegation, but he's not going to take Coolin where they want to be. You'd much rather be in a side that's hoping to challenge for Europe, but under a coach like that, I don't really see that as conceivable.
Yeah, no, I'd love to see Coolin take a chance on someone like a Daniel Tuin, who took that chance at Hamburg, and he's kind of, I mean, to be fair, he has reaped in the rewards of top of the league. So for me, sitting at the top of the league is vital. You know, he's done well since he moved there. So for me, I'd like to take a chance on someone like that. I don't really know, but without getting too far into Kiln, because we're here all day talking about the dumb stat. Augsburg Hoffenheim's not really ringing bells to make me turn on the Sky on the weekend. Kyle, do you have anything exciting to mention about that game?
A team that plays crap football versus a team that is not football. So, yeah.
There we go.
Pain.
Augsburg versus Hoffenheim. No, it's a good. It's going to be a bit of a painful one, I think. Hoffenheim just rely on Kramaric a lot this season, which is fair. Baumgartner relying on him, and it just hasn't been a good season for Hoffenheim. Unfortunately for them, they're going to be consigned to mid-table, and that looks pretty set. Augsburg probably a bit disappointed that they've dropped their way back into where they were considering the start of the season they made. But again, it's just not, it's maybe that one game of the whole Bundesliga season that I would maybe say, you know what, I might give that a miss. Even though I would watch every Bundesliga game as I can, once I got Sky over here, it was the best thing ever happens. There's football on all weekend. It's fantastic. But move on to the late Saturday game, because there's a 7:30 game in kickoff in the UK time for Gladbach against Freiburg, Colin. Just touch on that. It's the last game we can speak about.
Yeah, like Gladbach back on track, back on into winning ways after the Schalke game. But how much can you actually read into that, really? I don't want to bash Schalke again, but it's the most winnable game in the league, so you never know how much that effect that's actually had, if that's a sign of things to come for Gladbach. Freiburg, they'd sort of started to falter a wee bit, but they got that win against Augsburg.
They were really good in that game.
I like watching Freiburg. Like, I mean, it didn't really look the most attractive game on paper, Freiburg and Augsburg, but they're always a side I quite enjoy watching. So it was good to see them get back on track. So it's a tough one to call, yeah. Freiburg, I think, will just be out with the reach of European football. I think it's a similar situation to Union, that in a footballing sense, it would probably be a negative thing for them in terms of squad. So maybe they don't want to get up into the Conference League or the Europa League. But Gladbach are the total opposite. They pretty much, that's their expectation, is to get, well, at least Europa League, if not Champions League football. So they really need to win this game, I think.
Definitely. I was really impressed with Freiburg again. Really thought, fan of the podcast, Christian Gunther. Well, no, not a fan of the podcast. We are fans of him from the podcast, Christian Gunther. It was fantastic. And you kind of wonder why he's not playing for the national team as well. You know,
One thing I'll really like seeing how Grifo's in the Italy squad. I think that's brilliant, that Freiburg having an Italian international. That's really good to see him in the squad.
Yeah, he's been excellent. It's been really good to see. So probably looking back at match day 27, your big ones, obviously the Berlin derby and then that Dortmund-Frankfurt game, I think, on a Saturday, could have been a really interesting one. Fun fact about Borussia Dortmund, I walked past Julian Brandt today in Köln. Got a bit starstruck for 2 seconds and then I was like, nah, he played for Leverkusen, forget him. No, I still think to this day, he's one of the best players I've seen in person live. Just that game he played against Gladbach when they won 5-1 after him coming on at halftime 1-0 down, and I think he got 2 assists and scored, and it was 5-1. Excellent. Still winning it. So now he's the best player I've seen live and in person, technically. So we'll go with that. So that was some fun fact. But what we're going to do is we're going to move on to the quiz. So we're going to do the time thing again, keep it constrained to the 10 minutes, which coincides fantastically with making the Scotland Fair of Islands game, funnily enough. But I thought we were going to get away from international football, but we're not. We're going to jump back into it quickly. And Kyle, I'm not sure how many you've seen before, but we like to do this starting 11 guessing game, basically. So we're going to get 10 minutes on the clock to guess the starting 11 for Germany 2, Scotland 1 in 2014. September 2014, if you remember the game. And I'm going to change it up slightly. I'm going to chuck in a couple of extra questions for extra points just to make things more exciting. So it's a first that come in answering scheme. Obviously, there's the 22 players on the pitch. Subs don't count. If you guess them, fantastic, but they don't count. Even if they come on, it's got to be the starting 11 for both clubs. And what we're going to do is I'm going to start the timer in just a minute. But before I start the timer, I'll give you one question for an extra point. So fingers on... I always say fingers on buzzers, but there's no buzzers. It's just ready to shout the answer. So whoever wants the extra point first, which stadium was the game played in?
Westfalenstadion.
Well, that was far too quick. Colin is... Colin's very quick, Kyle, so just jump him and try to beat him. No one, I don't think a guest has beat you yet, Colin, have they?
I don't think I've faced a guest, to be honest.
Have you not? Well, there
you go. I think it's always been against one of you.
You've got the utmost pleasure of being the first guest to play Colin. So, the timer has started with 10 minutes to go. Now, so go, guys. The starting 11 for Scotland and Germany in September 2014 Euro qualifiers at the Westfalenstadion, as Colin said, finished 2-1 for Germany. Give me the squad.
Akechi Anya.
Well done. One to Colin.
Craig Gordon.
No.
Thomas Muller.
Yes.
Sean Maloney.
No. He was a sub.
Chris Commons.
Nope. He wasn't on the bench either.
Bastian Schweinsteiger.
Nope.
Manuel Neuer.
Yes. One. So it's... Right now it's 3-1 to Colin because he got the Westfalenstadion. Yeah.
Alan Hutton.
Alan Hutton is correct. 3-2 now. You have two each on the two players for each side now being called.
Podolski.
He was a sub. He came on.
I'll piggyback off that then and go closer.
He wasn't in the squad.
Ah.
Scott Brown?
No. This is why I picked this game, because it's actually pretty difficult to get it wrong.
Adam Charlie Fletcher?
I'll give you both, because you both got that right, yes. Fletcher for Kyle and Mulgrew for Colin. So it's 4-3 to Colin.
Hummus.
Nope.
Alan McGregor.
Nope.
Marshall.
Well, then it has.
Yeah. I was waiting. That's why I never go goalkeepers, because if you get it wrong, the other person's going to get it right.
Ötzo.
Yes. No, sorry, nope. Wrong. I was thinking of another game. Sorry, apologies. No, it's all.
Gündoğan.
Nope.
Schürrle.
Yes. 6-3 to Colin right now. Three German players and five Scotland players. For an extra point, who scored the goal for Scotland?
Anya.
Okay, Colin, too quick there again. 7-3 to Colin. You've got 5 Scotland players and 3 German players so far, and you have 6 minutes, 40 seconds left. Come on, guys.
Götze.
Yeah.
Royce.
Yes. 8-4.
Philip Lahm.
Nope.
Gnabry. No, not no.
You're faltering now. Come on, Gnabry. Nope.
Who it is?
Yes, who it is?
Shout.
9-4 to Colin. Kyle, you still got time to come back, don't worry. Just think of your obscure German national team. I mean, there's still a lot of Scottish players you haven't mentioned.
Stephen Fletcher.
Nope. He's on the bench.
Russell Martin.
Yep.
That's an obscure one.
10-4 to Colin now.
I'm going to go on the back of that and say Chris Martin.
No, he was on the was he on the bit? Yeah, he was on the bench. Who scored the goals for Germany?
Müller.
Yeah, fair point. Right, Colin, he scored both of the goals. Four minutes 40, guys. Come on.
What's his name? James Morrison.
Yep.
Brian Fraser.
No. You have 1, 2, 3, 4 Scotland players left to say. And you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Germany players still to say.
Khedira?
Nope.
Emre Can?
Nope.
Christoph Kramer?
Yep. Well done. I thought that was a difficult one.
I must admit, I never actually watched this game, or I have no recollection of it anyways. I know it happened, but I am taking pot shots.
Bonus point, who got sent off for Scotland? You've said the name already, that's why I'm asking the question. Someone said the name already.
Charlie McGrew?
Yeah. Sorry, Kyle. I'm sorry, Kyle. Colin just obliterating here.
I'm not expecting. Sure.
3 minutes to go, and you've got. I mean, you've still got time. You've still got time.
I just looked at the list of names I'd written down, and be like, "Who'd be stupid enough to get sent off?"
That's fair. Go on. You've got a striker for Scotland still to say. You've got a centre mid for Scotland still to say. A left back for Scotland still to say. A centre back. For Germany, you've got the right back, the left back, a centre back, a centre mid to say.
Mertesacker?
Nope.
Boateng?
Yes.
Yes.
Scotland striker, come on.
Craig McHale Smith?
No.
God, mind him.
Just over 2 minutes, guys. Scotland striker. Right back that played for Germany is actually a centre mid.
Kimmich?
Nope, I knew someone was going to say that. the left back.
Oh, Sebastian Rudi.
Well done. That's a good
shout.
He used
to play right back for Germany.
That's a good shout. Left back for Germany still.
Hector?
Nope. I'm so disappointed no one said it yet, but no, not Hector. Left back for Germany, centre mid for Germany, still to go. Come on, Scotland striker. Scotland striker, a centre mid, and a left
back. Lee Griffiths?
Nope.
Not Kenny Miller?
Nope. One and a half minutes to go.
What's his first name? Phillips?
Nope. Yeah. Striker, left back, centre back. The centre back. Okay, a clue. Centre back played the last game.
Oh, Grant Hanley.
Yeah, okay. Right, a minute exactly. Left back.
Left back. It wasn't Robertson, was it?
No. Left back and a striker. Have you not got the striker yet? Jesus. Come on, guys.
It's going to be painful when we get told.
It's going to be really painful. You've still got left back for Germany, centre mid for Germany. I can't believe you've not got the centre mid for Germany either, to be fair.
Tony Kroos.
Yes, fuck's sake.
Obviously.
So you've got left back for Germany still to say, and you've got the left back for Scotland and striker still to say. So you're not far off. You have got 25 seconds to get it before I tell you. And
left back for Germany. I feel like I should get this.
15 seconds, lads. Yes. 10. 9. 8.
Plattenhardt.
Nope. 7. 5. 4. 3. 2. Oh, 1.
Blank. Uh-huh.
So, do you want to know who you missed out? All in one, if we didn't already figure that out. But just so you know, I will. So, Colin, well done. Good result for you. But do you want to know who you missed out on?
Go on.
Left back for Germany, Eric Durm.
Ah, never going to get that.
And you got the rest of the team. Neuer, Rudy, Boateng, Havidez, Durm, Kramer, Kroos, Müller, Royce, Schürrle and Götze. And for Scotland, you got Marshall, Hutton, Martin, Hanley, Fletcher, Mulgrew, Anya, Morrison. You missed left back, Stephen Whittaker.
Oh, God.
You missed centre mid, the wee man, Barry Bannon. And striker, Stephen Naismith.
We actually played that team against Germany. God, we were crap.
Back when we weren't so blessed with left backs, like when we had to play Stephen Whittaker at left back.
Maloney came on, Fletcher came on, and MacArthur came on, and then Ginter came on for Germany as well as Podolski, who you mentioned earlier on. So, Colin, you've got a wee win there. Well done. Nice.
Thank you.
Nice one for that, Colin. But no one's ever beaten Colin, I don't think. So he's very quick on the buzzer, as you can tell, Kyle. But there we go. We round that up. I thought that was a really good one. Cheers, Kyle, for coming on. Good to get your Union perspective as a member as well, as being a Scotsman as well. You know, it's really exciting to hear what the Union fans are like, what the passion, the culture of them as well. So it's good to hear from a member himself. Hopefully you have an enjoyable derby at the weekend as well.
Fingers crossed. Thanks for having me on.
No worries at all. So there we go. Match day 27 coming up. The international break is done, finally. We're back to Bundesliga football. Match day 27 should be a good one. We'll be back next week and we will see you then.
And Scotland have bounced back again.